All right, welcome to the second class of the seventh year, 1500th. This is it. So last week we mainly spoke about the expulsion, which is like more of a background. The 1500th is really was marked from in 1492 when the biggest, most established Jewish community was exiled, and they were thrown out of the country. It sent shockwaves through the entire world. The world was just not the same since probably the Churban of the second base of Mikdash. There had not been such a terrible expulsion. I guess maybe, but in Europe there were always expulsions, but that was like cities from cities, and they would the way Germany was set up, or the Holy Roman Empire was set up, you'd be able to go from one small city to another, because there were over 100 municipalities, 300 municipalities. So you could, just because you were thrown out of one, you just moved to the other. But here, it was total and complete. Yes, there was also out of France and out of England, but the amount of Jews that were there was much less, and it did not have the impact that it did. So basically, we spoke about last week, the history, and the Jews had been there for about 800 years. We mentioned the Golden Age was about for 500 years. It ended with the Christians starting to make the reconquest, and the beginning of the end was in about 100 years earlier in 1391 when there were riots. I'm sorry, Jerry?
What month were the Jews expelled?
They were expelled, it was actually on Tisha B'Av in 1492, which was August 1st, August 2nd. That's when they were expelled.
That was all Sephardic.
That's where, when we refer to the Sephardic community, we refer to the exiles of Spain. So that was Spain, that was Sfarad. It was such a community that they held of themselves in every single way, that very for the next century, wherever they went, they took over. They weren't, we're Sephardim, we have our customs, and this is the way we're doing things. So in most places, they took over. They came into new places that there weren't people there. But there were other places that they came where you had Ashkenazim and Sephardim. And, Ashkenazim, they don't give an inch on their minhagim. And we'll see how things came out over there. But when we refer to Sephardim today, who we refer to, those that were exiled from Spain. The truth is, we Ashkenazim, we really group, anybody who's not Ashkenaz, we group as Sephardim. So Moroccans, we group as Sephardim. And most of the Moroccans, even though, yes, there were Sephardim that went to Morocco, but we group Sephardim as Moroccans. We group Yemenites, who had no shaykhus to anything, as Egyptians, even though Sephardim did go to Egypt, but Iraqis, everybody there who's not Ashkenazim, we refer to as Sephardim. But the bulk of the Sephardim came from Spain. That's who we are referring to. This you may have seen just a quick review from last week. So Don Isaac Abarbanel, he was the finance minister of Fernandez and Isabel. He financed the war. The Abarbanel is the hero of the Jews of the expulsion, because he had it all. He could have stayed. All he had to do was convert. And he didn't. He chose to lead the Jews out. He basically gave up most, if not all, of his fortune. He offered his fortune to the king just to annul the decree. The king actually offered him to stay in Spain. This is from Jew. You don't have to convert. What do you need? He says, well, I need a minion. He says, you got yourself a minion. What else do you need? He says, I can't do that. And even though the king was willing to make an exception for the Abarbanel, he felt that he needed him so much. The Abarbanel nevertheless picked himself up and led the Jews out, so to speak. And we'll see diaries of people that were around at the time, and each one, the glowing just praises that they say about the Abarbanel. We may even see the Abarbanel in his introduction to Malachim. He also gives an account of what, his personal account of what happened. Again, we did this last time, March 31st. Basically, when did they kick the Jews out? Once they finally removed the Muslims from the south part of Spain, in Granada, they finally had that last war, and the Muslims were beaten out of Spain, and it was no more Muslims. And once there was no more Muslims, they felt, all right, we don't need Jews, because Jews were to help to finance the war. Not that they were soldiers, but to finance the war. And once they figured, okay, no more Muslims, so that's it. Let's make it no more Jews. And there were other reasons. We'll get to what they were hoping to accomplish in March 30. So in order to show their rulership, their bilis over Granada, they went actually to the palace, Alhambra Palace in Granada. This was the seat of the Muslim court, the ruler, and they when they were there, that's on March 31st, they came out with the decree that the Jews have 3 months and they have to get out of town, get out of the country. Okay, and this is... So Abarbanel was willing to give his entire fortune, and part of the problem is the king is never alone. The king always has guards, spies, and Torquemada, who was the confessor for Isabel, he was a priest that was frum. He was really frum. He believed it. You know, he was not on the take for money, and when he found out that Abarbanel was trying to buy the Jews, you know, to allow them to stay, and Fernadette loved or needed money, he came in with the cross and he said, the Jews sold Yashka for money and you want to sell him again? And he said, so go ahead. And when that happened, Isabel said, forget it, deal's off. And that was it. And the Jews then had till Tisha B'Av, till the beginning of August, to leave the country. How many left? So that's really a point of dispute. I've seen anywhere as little as 100,000 to as much as 300,000. I think if I have it here, but like the Abarbanel says about 300,000 left. Our sources say 300,000 left. Also very interesting in terms of sources, the secular sources and our sources. Secular sources seem to say 100 or 200,000 Jews converted. And when you read the our sources, most of the Jews left, very, very few converted at that point. So there were two periods of time, which we mentioned last week, in 1391 and again in 1415. That's when tens of thousands, if not over 100,000 Jews were there that were converted. But these were Jews that were already converted, that were part of the Spanish society already, and those Jews that did not convert by the 1415s were the Jews that were much stronger Jews at that point. They held on to their own. They were probably better at protecting the Jewish community. Not allowing things that caused the defections, the conversions that were happening earlier, and it was a much stronger, much firmer community.
We hear a lot about Muranos.
We're going to talk about those. Oh. The Muranos, we're going to talk about Muranos in Spain, and there are now going to be, when the Jews leave, they will have left between 100 and 200,000 Jews behind that were what they would call either new Christians or anusim, we call them forced, or Muranos. But the Jews that left at that point, again, between 100 and 200,000. The stories that we all hear about the Muranos and the Inquisition, That most of those stories took place in Portugal. Because as we're going to see, Portugal was another debacle. It was just a terrible, terrible continuation situation for the Jews there. I'm sorry?
The Inquisition.
Okay, we'll talk about the Inquisition. Absolutely, absolutely. So,
were the Jews allowed to cross to go into France?
No. At that point, France was no Jews were allowed in France. France and England had already expelled their Jews, and no Jews were allowed in France and in England. Well, England didn't matter.
So
there was only one. There was only either take a boat somewhere to another country or Portugal. There was another option, Navarre. I don't know how to say it. Navarre, and that also didn't end too well, because for a short time it was a free area. It was its own area, but about 5-6 years later, it was swallowed up by Aragon, and the Jews had to leave. And now there was nowhere to go, because it was swallowed up. It was landlocked. So those Jews that ended up there also either were forcibly converted or, but the conversion stories, all these Marano stories about Jews, most likely they all came from Portugal. And we'll see why. We'll see it's a different type of a newsome, a different type of story that happened there. Just this is from Rav Yosef Yaivitz. He was one of the exiles himself. So he writes, you know, who were the people that really left? These were the humble folk. Spain was not that, you know, very proud, influential, rich community that it was for hundreds of years. The last 100 years, it was things were very bad for the Jews, very hard for the Jews. And many Jews already had started leaving on their own. It was not very hospitable for Jews. Very strong push to convert Jews, and Jews had very little influence. The crown really wasn't so, they had mixed feelings about it, the government, the crown. Why? Because, like you mentioned last week, the Jews were charged taxes at a different rate than Christians. So, you know, if 100,000 Jews converted to Christianity, the king is going to have a very bad year. That's a loss. That's a serious loss. So instead of getting like 40% of his money, his profits, you're only going to get 20 or 10. That's it. You're out a lot of money. So the king overall, if you're, you know, would want Jews, because you know it's a loss of money. Except like again for that Isabel, they were under the influence of Torquemada. They believed it, you know. So large number of women. Again, he's writing one of the great rabbis that left was Don Isaac Abarbanel. He had permission to stay, but he left. He did it, and he's going to go to end up in Naples, and he's going to, I think it would be Naples, and the king or queen of Naples is going to get him into, want him again in government. He's just wherever he goes, he seems to be much in demand. Okay, just to show Aragon was not just, okay, I just over here, everything you see brown is Aragon. This is really in the 1400s. By the 1500s, they didn't really have Naples. But Aragon, when they sent their Jews out, not only did they send their Jews out, but they sent the Jews out of Majorca and Minorca and Sardinia and Sicily. They had a lot of holdings, and the Jews had to leave there also. Each place had to throw their Jews out, Okay, well, we may come back to this soon. All right, what happened? Now, in reality, the troubles of the Jews were first beginning. As I mentioned last time, there was a law on the books. You can't take money out. So I'm sure they probably stuffed money, you know, how they could. But officially, on the books, they were not allowed to take money out. Go ahead, try to sell your house. You're going to have a fire sale on a house, right? You have 100,000 Jews selling their houses, and the Goyim, no, you can't. August 2nd, you're out of here. You can't be here. You'll be killed. So why should I pay like a lot, top dollar for a house now when in 3 months it's not going to be anybody there? So they've got barely anything for their beautiful mansions. And who are we talking about? We're not talking about those that converted. These are the Jews that didn't convert. So, like, this is like the best of them. So they on the boats, there was some ships were overloaded and sank. Some Jews died from the rigors of the journey. There were boats recorded.
What was the school about Columbus?
So we did that last week.
You did it last week.
We spoke about Columbus a little bit last week. And Columbus writes in his diary, he was supposed to leave the same day, but he says he couldn't. Because he writes that the Jews were all escaping, and he had to delay.
Did he take a lot of Jews with him?
So most likely most of his crew were either Jews or Anusim. All his funding came from Anusim, or New Christians, Anusim. That's his chevra that he hung out with. That's who sponsored his trip. The New Christians, the Jews that were converted. So it's highly likely that he himself was a converso. He's hanging out with these people.
There was rumors that he was even Jewish.
Yeah. So it's most likely that he was. We know for sure people on this boat were his interpreter, Louise. What's his name?
The ship doctor was Jewish.
Yeah, the ship doctor. It was his interpreter. I think converted that day, the day before, but his. He had, most likely a lot of those were either Jews, converted Jews, or most likely it was. This, Jews were very into the explorations. Again, we mentioned this last week. We may get back to this. All the inventions, Jacob's staff and the astroblade, all made from Jews. Maps, all from Jews. This is Jews. This is a Jewish thing. Were maps making the maps that were needed for all of the adventures on the high sea, all came from Jews. What's it called? Cartology. This is all from the Jewish profession. Again, we mentioned that. Spain, on the day that they kicked out the Jews, started an adventure, or sent Columbus, that eventually 400 years later is going to be the United States is going to be where the Jews will be able to flee during the Second World War.
Was America Vespucci or Yid?
I don't know. But with Columbus leaving at that time, at that place, very likely. And we know we know the backers, and they were all. It wasn't an easy sale for the king, for Ferdinand and Isabel. They had to be persuaded. They had to be convinced that it would be worthwhile. Everything was the bottom line. It was all money, they had backers, and we know who the backers were. They were conversos. So the Jews had, these are Jews different, you read the contemporary, they had all these things. Some captains just threw the Jews overboard, sold them to pirates, dropped them off uninhabited islands. It was terrible. Just leaving and all the stories. If you read the Tochacha, the curses, it's just like almost like scary on things you read, that will incite wild beasts. Pasuk 22, 25, an army, I will bring upon you an army that avenges, you will be delivered to your enemy's hands. You will eat and yet not be satisfied. I'll scatter you among the nations, bring fear in the hearts and the lands of their enemy. You'll rot away in the land of your enemies. These are just like different psukim from the Tochacha that I just like pulled out. And a number of Jews on the trip, a number of Jews returned to Spain, they back to the land of their enemies. They just couldn't take it. Wherever they went, boom, one thing after another, they said, forget it. And they just went back to Spain and they converted. I mean, how many of them? I don't know. Was it 10? I don't know. Was it 100, 1,000? But at least enough Jews that it has been recorded that some Jews went back. Killed by robbers. Wild animals, hunger, disease, exposure, just all what you would see in the Tochacha, there are accounts and stories of what happened to these Jews on the way out of Spain. Okay, I just wanted to just, before we, I guess, sort of talk about the Jews that are, because our story is really, we're going to leave Spain, and that's it. Spain is, for us, for the Jewish people, Spain becomes like a non-entity, just like forget it, it's finished. We have nothing to do with Spain. Even, you know, just a few years ago, in 1992, the 500th year, like, I don't know, they didn't do the 500th year, but the 700th anniversary of the Rambam. So they try to, you know, oh, Rambam, Spain, this is where he started from, come, you know. They try to make a thing out of it. Nobody came. Nobody was interested. I mean, Spain, Spanish Jews, they really had nothing, wanted nothing to do with Spain. It was just, you know, Franco in the war, he was Franco. He's a dictator. He wasn't a nice man. But one thing was that if any Jew made their way to Spain, he did not give over any Jews to the Nazis. Franco said, you know, you start checking Yichus by us, you know, you never know how many of us they'll want to kill, you know, like, you know, at least he knew that. Okay, in 69, Isabella would marry Isabella, I must have missed that line, I don't know what that first line is, but in 1474, she married her cousin Ferdinand of Aragon. The one who made the Shadchan, who was the Shadchan, was a man by the name of Avram Senyor. Avram Senyor was also very, very high in the government, and he was also a Jew. And at the expulsion, Avram Senyor converted. He was in his 80s, and he converted. Him and I think most or all of his family converted. And the question is, why did he convert? He was very close to the Ferdinand and Isabel. He was the one that made the shidduch. He was, you know, but why did he convert? So if you want to be nice to him, it could be that somehow Ferdinand and Isabel threatened him and his family that they do whatever. Maybe, you know, but it could be just so old he couldn't take the travel. He couldn't take having to do the trip. But all you know is when we refer to him, you'll see somewhere in the writings, they change his name from Senor to Sone'or. He's the Avram Sone'or, the one who hates the light. You know, he's just a. So they get married in 1474, and then they ask Pope Paul II. I guess he was the Pope at the time, if we can have the Inquisition come to Spain. And it didn't happen. The Pope said no. But when new Pope Sixtus VI came to power, so he was threatened by the Turks, which we're going to get to. The Turks are going to be the good guys. The Turks are going to be the very good guys in all this. The Turks threatened the Pope with an invasion. So Sixtus turned to Ferdinand and Isabel, please help. Could you send me an army to protect me? So Ferdinand said, sure, no problem. Just all you have to do is allow us to have a Inquisition, and I'll send you the army. And that's exactly what happened. So in 1478, that's when the Inquisition formally came to Spain. Now the Inquisition was supposed to be under Pope's control. But that, I don't know if it ever happened, and it immediately was taken by, I think, Torquemada. He took it under his control, and he did whatever he wanted. I don't know if all the tortures and the way it was all set up was coming from the Pope, or it was just like their local way of doing the... again, here, the crown in Aragon is just a better an idea of the picture. This is Aragon was all the way through Sicily. This being Italy, so they were threatened by the Turks. So he was able to send forces, an army, to help, you know, the Pope out. That's how the Pope was felt indebted, or he needed help, so he gave in. What was the Inquisition? Well, the Inquisition really was established in about the 1100s, and it really was nothing to do with Jews. It really was not meant for non-Christians. But in the 1100s already, they were having issues with Christianity. You know, apikorsis. People had their own ideas of what Christianity is, and the Pope wanted people to hold the party line, whatever that was. So wherever there were issues with different ideas and thoughts, so they would send out they trained these Franciscan monks and Dominicans, and these were very learned in what the Christian religion was, what was correct and what was apikorsis, and they would go ahead and make sure that the people believed in what they should believe and didn't believe what they didn't, and they would have people that were troublemakers or had their own thoughts taken care of. That was what the original Inquisition was. So now the Inquisition was, throughout the years, they had them in different places. It finally made its way to Spain. So you had different type of converts. You had one type that they gave it up on Judaism. That's it. They turned their back on it. They turned totally to Christianity. The second one is you had people that they weren't strong enough to put up the fight. They didn't, they thought, like always, things always blow over. The Christians will get fanatical now, and tomorrow, next year, it'll all blow over, and I'll just go back to becoming Jewish. I'll go back to Judaism. And there had been precedences for this. Even in Spain, the Visigoths, for example, when they turned Christianity, so there were very many times they said, okay, everybody's got to be Christian. So if the Jews just behaved like a Christian a little bit, then after a few years they were able to go back to becoming Jews. I mean, but this is in the 600s. You're talking, this is 800 years earlier. A lot of things changed since then. Also by certain Muslim lands, but so that's what they thought. But they were really insincere. They really did not believe in Christianity. They just weren't strong enough to either allow themselves to be killed or to move or run away if they had to. That's the second group. Okay, so what now happened with these conversos? So you had, this is really where this happened. It started in 1391 with the mobs that came in. So like overnight, not overnight, within a course of a few months, you had tens of thousands, if not 100,000 Jews that are now Christians. So now things, all of a sudden, things are, everywhere things were now different. Where these, you had 100,000 very talented people were barred from certain places, and now everything is open to them. Yesterday they could not go to certain higher of education places, and now they could get in. Yesterday, government positions were not open to them. Now they're in. So, economic positions were not open. And all of a sudden, everything is now open to the Jews. And like the original Christians that were there saying, hey, what's going on here? I just lost, my promotion. All of a sudden, they're coming in. They're taking our place. So it created a tremendous amount of enmity among them. Plus the fact that, and if he's taken the job, you think he's really a Christian? He knows, he thinks he's firmer than us. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's acting like a Jew. It's all a fraud. It's a fake. So they think he's doing it because he wants the better job. And maybe it was true, but maybe, the Jews probably did it because they just wanted to save their lives and they're just waiting to get back. So it was not good for the Jews. They were beginning to be called new Christians. So you had the group that was converted, and this, again, starting from 1391, and again, there was a large amount in 1410 to 1414. These Jews that were coming in, they were known as new Christians. They did not intermingle in general with the old Christians. So you had like 100,000, 150,000 new Christians that were really Jews marrying and staying among each other, which serve the Jewish population because, you know, they're Jews and they could hang out with Jews, especially if you don't really believe in the Christianity. And it served the non-Jews. They don't want them. They don't, these insincere Jews that are being converted that aren't really serious. So that's what was happening. Now comes along also. Now then you had these Christians that, you know, they try to go back to becoming Jews. I mean, in 1391 and 14, you could have had families where half the family converted. The parents converted, the kids did not. Kids converted, the parents did not. One brother, some siblings did, some siblings did not. What do you do? How do you deal with such a situation?
How was the interfaith marriage?
Yeah, look at that. Yeah, you had, that's...
Did they stay within...
So, for the most part, we read the Shilas and Tshuvas of the day. Yeah, the Jews generally married among themselves. So, you know, I mean, of course, eventually, you know, the lines were blurred and people forgot that they were new, or they, you know, they were able to mix in and become part of the society. But basically, overall, what's going to happen to this Anusim community, they're not going to have it easy. It's not like, okay, these 150,000 Jews that remained as Christians, or 200,000, that's it. They're now going to live the life of Riley. All the other Jews are gone, and they only have Christians and one big happy family. What's going to happen with these Jews is they're going to have to deal with an Inquisition. And the Inquisition is going to kill over the course of the next... Inquisition ended in the 1850s. 1850, for 300 years it was an Inquisition.
Really?
Yeah. 1800s, officially ended. You know, at some point, you know, you run out of people to kill. But we'll get into that. Okay, so they made a difference between old Christians, new Christians, and there was a racist attitude. These new Christians are really Jews, they're insincere, we don't want to have anything to do with them, don't give them positions in the government. And now there's going to be enmity and hatred, you know, that they're taking our positions and they're taking our... So they're going to be... Now comes along the Inquisition, and now these new Christians are going to have a hard time of things. Because if you... I'll just say it now, but we'll see it soon. Is the Inquisition? You did not have to. When the Inquisition pulled you in, they didn't tell you who, you know, libeled you. They weren't. You weren't shown the evidence against you. You were just pulled in here. You are, you know, accused of being a Jew and a backslider. And that's it, you were finished. So you could have anybody, if there was a Christian that was jealous of a certain Jew, that's it. They just, you know, make up something to the Inquisition, and that's it, they're pretty much finished. I don't know how any Jews got out of the Inquisition. Main features of the Inquisition. So first they gave a grace period for sinners to come forth. So I think it was, I don't know if it was a few years, a few months, a year or two, but they said, all right, this is, what do they call it? They're giving you amnesty. Grace period, amnesty, you come in, you're able to, you know that, you come in, you admit, and then we'll fix it up. It'll be much better. But after that, people were encouraged to come in and tattle on other people and tell them, you know, this is just rat on them. And they'll never find out it's you. You know, you don't have to go up in court and testify in front of them. They were arrested and tortured to confess their sin. Somehow they believed it's not real. People don't say the truth unless they're tortured. Ah, you were tortured, now you said the truth. Yeah, I guess it's just hard for us to, imagine. And it was really terrible tortures. I think one year we went, I just showed you a few of them. Sad or scary how people can imagine such ways to torture other people. Guilty parties that remained unrepentant, given to the authorities for execution. So of course, the priests, they wouldn't do the killing. You know, that's not something we do. But they would give them over to the governors or the kings or whoever it was, and they would do the killings. You know? No, they did it. You know, it's a country thing. It's a government thing.
Conversion. Did the Jews change their names also?
I'm sure
did they
did.
Did they have Jewish names?
I'm
Schwartz and,
what would the Jewish name, what would the Sephardic Jewish name be? I'm not sure. It could be they did. It could be they changed their names. I don't know. But again, when most of the Jews converted in 1391 and 1414, there was no Inquisition yet. So the Inquisition didn't come to Spain up until right before, a few years before 1478, the Jews themselves were exiled in 1492. So about 14 years, there was an Inquisition. And for those 14, whatever, the excuse, we said this last week as well, but the excuse that Spain gave to expel the Jews, the excuse they gave is, look, you know, the Jews are being a bad hashpa on our wonderful new Christians. They're teaching them all the wrong things, you know, about mitzvahs and holidays and Torah, and that's why we have to get rid of them. The real reason to get rid of them was for their money. That's really why they wanted to get rid of them. But you can't say that, or at least back then you can't say that. So they said it was full of religious reasons. They would what were the converts called? They had a whole bunch of names for them. We mentioned new Christians as opposed to old Christians. I think even till today there's a group. The group New Christians and Old Christians. I mean, but for sure, for hundreds of years, you're there, the New Christians, the Old Christians, which are there, which is the same thing as conversos, crypto Jews, secret Jews, Anusim, and Moranos. So Moranos, I guess, what does Morano mean in Spain, in Spanish? Pigs? It means a pig?
It's written correctly, it means swine.
Swine.
I think it's an old Spanish, I don't think it's a new
one. Right. It's old Spanish. It's not, yeah. Not today. In old Spanish, it means swine. So why were they called swine? So I think we mentioned this last year also, is that either they could have been called swine because in order to trick people to make them show that they're Christian, they would eat pork in public. They were called swines because that's to try to fool people. That's what they would do in public. They were called swines. Just a derogatory that, you know, just like I guess there's a Lundership shot, just like the pig shows its split hooves to show that it's a kosher animal, but it isn't. So these new Christians show outside that they're Christians, but they're really not. All right, and Anusim forced ones, we in our literature, in the Shilas V'Tshuvas, they're mainly called Anusim. When they refer to those in Spain, they're called Anusim. So then what happens is once they're found guilty, so then there's a public procession, and they read their sentence, and they would usually do this in the public square. It'd be a big town. They'd set up seats, and this was like a public thing that they would do. They would bring, sometimes they would save it for special days if there was a wedding. So what better way to celebrate a wedding by having burning your Jews, like, you know, in the... This is what was done in Spain, starting in 1478 and on until the 1800s. It's called the Ordo de Fe, or Act of Faith. Act of Faith. That's what it was. Now, again, the Inquisition couldn't stop the backsliding. The Jews never took it seriously. Many Jews really never took it seriously. We also mentioned last time is. The Christians did not do a good job of Kiruv, because they woke up the next morning and it was like, you know, okay, so we're Goyim now. Now what do we do? So they didn't know. So you go to shul. Like, so what? You're a Christian. Oh, I don't go to shul. Like, now what do I do? Like, what do I say? So the Christians never had, like, seminars how to be a good Christian, you know, Christianity 101. They didn't do these things, so... You know, the Jews were not officially taught what to do. So you could be, you had people that didn't care less, would be a Christian, just didn't know what to do. You had other people that were, didn't take it seriously at all. This is the backsliding, and they blame the Jews. So like we mentioned before, when they got rid of the, Muslims finally, they got rid of the Jews as well. I just wanted to just point out just such a different concept just by us, and that we have a idea, something called an Ir Nidachas. What's an Ir Nidachas? We also have an individual who is a mafase. What's it called? He's a somebody who persuades somebody to avodah zarah individually. But we also have, let's say, an Ir Nidachas. But the Ir Nidachas, let's say it's a city that most of the people worship idols. So there's, you know, there's, first of all, there's rules, and you have to check it out. It's not just hearsay. And but once you decide that there's a city that is an Ir Nidachas, what you do is you have to burn everything in the city. Nothing is taken out. You're not allowed to get any hana, any benefit from anything in that city. There's no monetary gain. You can't even use the city. Everything is burnt in a heap, and the city is not allowed to be used. You know, a guy, a real estate mongol, would say, you know what? That's really prime real estate. Why should I buy them all out? I'll get witnesses, call them a Ir Nidachas, and that's it. After they're burnt in, I'll just move over. I'll take it, you know. But it didn't work that way, because that area was not allowed to be ever rebuilt. So there was no monetary incentive to have people killed for heresy. Whereas opposed to the Inquisition, yeah, you got from the loot, you got from the spoils of this Jew that was killed. Everybody got a piece of the action. The Inquisition got a piece of the action. Maybe the witnesses got a piece of the action. The throne, the monarchy got a piece of the action. And that's really what motivated the Inquisition for many, many years. It was greed, money. Okay, so where'd the Jews go? Before we go, just where the Jews go, the Jews went to, most of them went to Portugal. That we all know. So depending on how many left, if only 150,000 left, so 80,000 went to Portugal. If 300,000 left, 150,000 went to Portugal. Which I myself am having a problem with the numbers. Just the numbers are not adding up for me. But we'll talk about that later when I get more into Portugal. But you can see Portugal is really part of Spain. So more than half of the Jews ended up going to Portugal. It's the easiest way. It's a very, very similar culture, language very similar. There was a Jewish community there before. So most of them ended up in Portugal. But that was only, we're going to talk about that in length, because that was in 1492. By 1497, they're going to have to leave again, because the king is going to be offered a shidduch with Isabel, the daughter of Fernadette and Isabel, and part of the tanayim was that they have to get rid of all your Jews. So that's with some of the other places that they went to was North Africa, Italy, Western Europe. Some ended up in Germany. But if those Jews that actually made it to Turkey, that was it. Then they were okay. Those Jews that could finally make it to Turkey.
They did very well in Morocco, too.
Yeah, Morocco, if once they got let in. They came there, there was a plague, and they wouldn't let the Jews into the city. They had to settle outside the city. Again, it was part of the Tocha. Wherever they went, it was just hard. It really was not an easy absorption anywhere. You could take a look at all the different places that they went, all the red arrows and the green arrows. You know, you can see they even made their way to Egypt and Eretz Yisrael. They made their way to Turkey. The yellow is all Turkey. Turkey is going to be the major empire at the time, the biggest empire in Europe. And that was like the refuah, you know, before the Makkah. And we were going to talk about Turkey and the history of Turkey, but they were always very favorably disposed to the Jews. Even up until very recently, the only Muslim country, the Jews had the best relations with Turkey. I mean, Turkey is like nothing of what it used to be, but it's a very modern country, and Israel got along very, very well with Turkey. Okay, reasons for the tragedy. Finish with this. So again, like everything, the Jews want to give reasons. Why did this happen? Why did the most powerful, the most influential, the biggest, the strongest Jewish community, why did it end? And why did it end so bad, so terribly? So they came up with a few reasons. So one, there was a lack of observance. And the witnesses of the time that were writing it is that, yes, they had many people going to yeshivas. But yeshivas are like a stepping stone. It's like one of the things to do. You know, like, I did my year in Israel, you know, or I did my year or two in yeshiva. And they would just take that and run with it with their philosophies or their economy. I mean, the yeshivas were flourishing. But not everybody in the yeshivas were like that. But you had like different groups in yeshivas that were using yeshivas for the knowledge of it. Sneas, these are things written in the from the Rabbanim of the time. Non-Jewish philosophy. They after 1391, there was a tremendous push against philosophy. They blamed the 1391, they blamed the reason for the many, many converts was because they were into philosophy, they were into Greek philosophy, Aristotle, and that was, I guess, a sort of a weakening of a faith. You know, if it's originally it was more like to show the strength of Yiddishkeit, you know, how it's better, how it's different than the not secular philosophies, but it just became more that, okay, you have a Jewish philosophy and you have, you know, a Christian philosophy and a Muslim philosophy, and all of them are trying to, you know, make it fit with Aristotle. Averroes did it for, who is this? Averroes did it for the Muslims, and who did it for the Christians? And the Rambam did it for Judaism, Yiddishkeit. Everybody tried to fit it into, how does it fit into Aristotle? So all right, so you're okay, if it's not Judaism, you have Christianity. They felt it was a weakening of the faith, flaunting wealth and power. Okay, and this goes back a diary of an Italian Jew. It ended the most large and distinguished Jewish settlement. He really brings it down, which it really was the greed of the king, the religious zeal of the church, the queen, the masses. They gave that was the official reason because of the Christianity. He goes back. The first was 1391 with the mobs. The pogroms. I think we did pretty much this. These are just the different areas where there were mobs that took place in 1391, Majerica, Minorica. And he writes off, the king gave him 3 months' time, which was ended the day before on Tisha B'Av. The actual decree we saw is signed on March 31st. He writes again, Representative Rabdan Isaac Senor. And his family, they became converts. Whereas Don Yitzchak Abarbanel, he was the one that led the Jews out. Again, Don Senior Abarbanel Sonei Or, as opposed to the Abarbanel, he brings down the story that I just told you with Torquemada, and Abarbanel tried to buy the Jews out. Torquemada came and ruined the entire deal. Okay. The king did not allow them to carry gold and silver out, and this was like you can't export gold and silver. Once they saw that it was time to leave, they sold their houses. Now, he writes 120,000 of them went to Portugal. They had to pay for every Jew that was there. So probably from the Jews themselves that brought money in, from the people that were, the Jews that were in Portugal at the time, they paid for every Jew to come in. I think I'm going to pretty much stop here. We're going to talk about Portugal next time. We'll get into exactly what happened in Portugal. So that's it. We're ending Spain. Everybody's gone. Everybody's left. And the only thing is, we will see is that from this time on, that it is going to be a slow, steady stream of Jews being able to get out. It wasn't easy to get out. I guess the only way to get out of Spain was on a boat. I guess you needed some sort of a passport. You needed permission. And slowly but surely, many, many Jews would get out, and they're going to start their own converso communities. One big famous one was in Amsterdam. And there's, you know, actually in New York, we have the Spanish-Portuguese synagogue, which started from conversos that made it to the New World and started to become Jews until the Inquisition came to the New World. But I guess maybe we'll get to that as well. Any questions? All right, so, Mr. Hashem, next time we're going to pick it up with Portugal, and it just gets worse. I mean, the Jews from Portugal are just going to have a terrible time. Whereas the King Ferdinand and Isabel allowed the Jews to walk out of their country, King Juan and King Manuel are not going to allow the Jews to leave. And it's going to, well, I guess we'll see next week. All right, Colto, thank you so much.